This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com and your host. Joining me to discuss the latest happenings down at Villa Park, Mr. Chris Bird and Mr. Phil Shaw. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, Mr. Shaw?
All good. I've had a nice week off work. Just can't remember what I did in it, but it was a nice week off work anyway.
Well, you were telling me your son has Disco Fridays. What's that all about?
The sound of this. This sounds great fun.
It's part of his school. I don't know. He just comes in and I go, good day today. And he goes, yep, Disco Friday. So that's just all you hear.
He's not taking drugs, is he, Phil?
I don't know. He got
Disco biscuits.
Disco Orange biscuits, yeah.
Orange ice pop was most he got.
Right. Saw you at the stadium of Aston Villa earlier on.
The church, yeah. Bud.
Well,
how is your restricted view, by the way?
We don't talk about that. I've got the little axor. What's it called? Hacksaw.
It could be one or other, depending on who you're using it on.
Well, I'll be bringing an axe in, but that's for some idiots, the cunt in front. But the hacksaw's probably to get rid of some railings that are starting to get in my way. Anyway, let's move on. Brentford were the visitors, the latest visitors, the back-to-back Premier League games, which we were hoping to take 6 points from, and until we got to the ground and realised that, like, half the team hadn't bothered turning up. So that kind of changed our aspirations for that result. But more of that later on. First of all, we will have the Villa news, kind of an eclectic mix of stuff. Before going on to the Media Muppets, 3 points. There's always a fight in 3 points, isn't there? Well, it kicked off somewhere, certainly. But then somebody from the glorious continent of Africa showed us how you should behave in the world of football. After all of those shenanigans, we will get into the meat and gravy of the show, what went down at Villa Park when Brentford turned up and decided from the kickoff they just wanted a point today. From the game. And the referee realised in the middle of the, I think he just came out of a coma or something, and what am I doing here? I hate football. Get me out of here.
But I love my whistle.
He just ruined it for everybody. Somebody on Twitter was saying, oh yeah, it's just the referees getting used to, because they've been told to let the game flow more. This was not that
dreadful.
This game never started. It was stop, start, stop, start, stop, start.
I thought he'd swallowed his whistle. And then every time he was breathing out, it was just...
I mean, I didn't have any drinks before going to the game, but after the game, I needed a few, put it that way, just because the life had drained out of me and I needed to get some va-va-voom back into me because that referee, Jesus. Right, anyway, let's get on to the news, shall we? Do you want the news of how a smile from a stranger on a Northampton bus inspired a Disney film? Or do you want the latest Villa news?
Oh, now this one's a little bit more tempting than the last two, but...
tempted.
I could quite like the sound of that one. Let's go with the Villa news, though.
Right, first off, COVID, it just plagues us, it seems. Dean Smith's been, you know, he's isolated twice, I think, so far. We've had our camp shut down last season.
We've had a game called, we've had two games called off in pre-season.
Now we turn up at Villa Park, and the rumours were true that we're doing the rounds, that Mings, McGinn and Ramsey won't be there. Mings was an injury, a broken rib,
it's a cracked rib apparently, which isn't good.
He was hoping to play, and he's the kind of guy you needed against Brentford, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of fearing the worst a little bit there, but he's going to the England camp. I think they're going to monitor it and see if anything can happen there. Meanwhile, we lost the captain gun, then the vice captain disappears as well, John McGinn, who has a few stories about, let's say, that COVID could have been avoided. Is that a fair assessment?
A little bit of rumour, but, you know, I'm sure all this COVID nonsense could be avoided. Villa don't seem to be doing a great job of avoiding it this year, do they?
Yeah, they don't, do they? They're absolutely...
they always seem to find a way. That's
amateur. Amateur hour. And Jacob Ramsey also had to isolate as well. Now, this rumbles on because we thought it was done and dusted. The Premier League had declared that no players going on international duty to red list countries would be allowed to go, mainly because they would have to go in a hotel, quarantine government hotel, for 10 days when they returned, which I think in Villa case with Buendia and Martinez would rule them out of three games.
And their fitness would drop off in 10 days of sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah, and who's paying the wages? They are paid to play football for Aston Villa. That's the whole idea. So missing three games is a large chunk of the season. And, you know, it's unfortunate because both of them are getting momentum with Argentina, especially Martinez, and it's World Cup qualifiers. But I don't know. It's, if you took a step back and you thought, middle of the pandemic, international travel, where most people aren't allowed to go to most countries, yet let's have, you know, let's keep international football going. Let's fly around the world playing football. I mean, it's, you would just drop it straight away if there wasn't so much money invested in it. But yeah, I thought that there was no debate here. I mean, by the time you listen to this, it would have been clarified. But I thought Dean Smith was a bit wishy-washy, saying, I don't know what's happening. We've told them we want them to stay, obviously, because the Premier League has banned people going. And I thought as soon as the Premier League issued that statement, that was there was no debate after that.
Well, they told Jack Grealish they wanted him to stay, and that went fucking well, didn't it?
Ooh. meanwhile, when we mentioned this in Something for the Weekend, Chelsea in the League Cup, Wesley off to Bruges to play in the Champions League. I mean, football's a funny old game, isn't it?
Bizarre. Yeah, barely kick the ball for 2 years and you end up in the Champions League. You get a reward for doing nothing.
It's feeling upwards, isn't it?
Third kit released. Now we look like Everton. Bit of a strange one, I thought.
It looks like a goalie kit to me.
You know, people say, you know, we can't be blue because of the Blues. I mean, I don't care about the Blues. And, you know, we've had, I think the 96 blue kit was reasonably successful.
I love that kit. It was
lovely. Yeah, that was all right. Blue, let's not let... some lower league club take it off the colour palettes that we can choose from. But a bit of a weird one. It looks very close to one of those training kits that Kappa rolled out. I think it was last season's training kit. I mentioned Ramsey earlier on. He is called up to the England under 21 squad, so it'll be interesting to see if he gets game time there and makes an impression. It's a big shame, actually, that he missed this game against Brentford, because he was certainly showing promise against Newcastle.
He had a good game, yeah. It's a shame, actually. He didn't get a chance to sort of back it up and get a little bit more momentum.
Right. I think it's time for Media Muppets. What's in the Media Muppet trough this week, Mr. Shaw?
Fresh from tweeting and guessing correctly that Wesley was going out on loan when he wasn't in the League Cup squad. It's...
Are you talking about me? That's what I did. I tweeted that before the game. As soon as he wasn't in that squad, I said, oh, that's Wesley-ovsky.
Yeah, but you weren't just specific enough to go Wesley was trying to arrange his own loan, but that's what The Athletic and Greg Evans did. But there was another piece in The Athletic about Aston Villa's transfer plans for this window. Now, we all know that there is no transfer plans really for this window, because we've been told that, but I think the Athletic need to go into ambiguity anonymous, because with the things that they're saying.
Ambiguity what? Anonymous?
Anonymous.
I like it. AA. Here we go.
The first line they said was, Aston Villa will consider dipping into the transfer window one final time if they can move on some of the fringe players. So there's the first bit, will consider. So is that a yes, they will, or no, they won't? If it's a consider, well, you don't need it, but will consider. Then they're going on again and saying, Dean Smith has made it clear earlier in the summer that he would like another central midfielder. That's why bids were made for Southampton's James Ward-Prowse and discussions over alternative options have continued since.
He hasn't made it as clear as when he said there's nobody coming in like two or three times in press conferences. Not as clear as that.
And then you get the final line of the piece, which is really what the Athletic subscribers pay for. This goes as, it means that these final days in the window can go one of two ways. Villa will either sign another midfielder or wait the future window. So
there you have it.
This is
the intelligentsia. I remember their marketing campaign on their Facebook ads where they said, for the smarter supporter, it's the same, you know, it's the same as like luxury goods where it's all about self-affirmation and, you know, you marketing preying on people's consciousness that, you know, their self-worth. It's like, oh, I must subscribe to this so then I can be classed as smart. I mean, I don't read it, but from the clatter on social media, they've seemed to have taken a nosedive. But there's a lot of people haven't got the courage of their convictions. And I mean, I called out, what's his name? Fabio?
Oh, Romano.
Romano. And I called him Mr. Each Way Bet. And I mean, you know, we had a conversation in DMs after that. But it's like, I don't really want to hear from you if you don't know either way. I mean, because everybody knows it could go one of either, you know, one or the other. That's Captain Obvious, isn't it? So yeah, why even tweet if you don't know one way or the other? I don't understand.
Not even tweet. Why write a whole article on it of something going one or two ways? They'll either sign somebody or they won't. Well, no shit.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone. This is old ground. We've been speaking about this for weeks now. It's part of how this is set up. It's to create this possibility that there's going to be a signing, and I mean, that's why I think one of the Match Club guys, you know, sent us a screen grab of the Birmingham Mail. There were seven stories stacked up on top of each other. We were interested or after like these seven different players, and it's like, yeah, I don't think so. Break down the squad, break down how this spending's gone, break down how many midfielders we have at the moment. I don't think Perslow is going to be spending more wages and other transfer fees at this moment in time. In terms of, especially when you consider how long certain midfielders have been at the club, it's not as if they're going to throw them on the skip just yet. But yeah, but that's beside the point. The fact is that when a manager and a CEO say no more business, what do the newspapers do? Oh yeah, fair cop, and don't write any more stories. Of course they don't. They've got to keep the possibility, even if it's like, I mean, it's like, as I keep saying, it's Orwell's perpetual war. You've got to pretend that something's happening so people read your shit. It's as simple as that. So there you go. That's all I've got to say on that.
Like you said, so people read your shit, so carry on.
Yeah, and pay for it, apparently, as well. Right, 3 points. Where are we starting off? Well, apparently Manchester United signed a new player. Bit old, but never mind. But the other side of this purchase, where you kind of see the method behind the madness, is that Manchester United's share price skyrocketed on the announcement of the signing. And the club's value going up $212 million, and that's before they've even started selling shirts.
That was like in the first hour. He hadn't actually formally signed at this point. It was mental.
Well, it's always buy the rumour, sell the news.
Yep.
Very quickly, what do you think about the Ronaldo situation?
I think it's a good move for the Premier League as a product. I think it's a good move for Man U commercially. I think it's a good move for them off the field, especially because I think regardless of where he's at on the field, physically, etc., because you know what you're going to get. I think the big thing is he will make sure a few of those players level up because he'll raise standards. And man, you haven't had a player like that for a while, like a Roy Keane or a Schmeichel, who will demand the very best of standards every day in training and on the pitch.
Yeah, because
that'll be good.
They've had a few legends in their own lifetime type players, haven't they?
Yeah.
And from that point of view, and I think Ferguson was heavily involved pulling some strings in the background here, you know, especially when the talk of the Manchester City move was doing the rounds. I think he stepped in and said, look, you know, you're going to shit on your legacy here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, United haven't had such a kind of galvanizing force, but as you said, it's something that'll level up. And you know, I was thinking, yeah, 36, he's not the man he used to be. You know, he's playing centre forward for Portugal in the Euros because, you know, he can't run around like he used to. And you think, yeah, Euros, you know, Roger Miller, you know, how old was he? 38 39? Well, his 40s, wasn't he, Roger Miller? You can have a 6-game tournament at international level, no problem. But then I remembered he won the Golden Boot, didn't he? And he scored more goals than Lukaku in Serie A. So he's you know, he's a freak specimen, isn't he?
Yeah, he's super fit. He's in such good shape.
He's got belief beyond. He's probably the most arrogant player of them all, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in terms of it fueling his football. So I think it's a good move for United. I don't think they can really go wrong with that one.
In the short term, it's great, yeah.
Would have been funnier to see him to go to City, because it could have been the domino that just made City implode, because you could just imagine, I don't think Pep and him would get on. He would just sort of stand there for City. It just would never have worked. But unfortunately, I think he's just going to slot in the place at United as if he's never been away, and he's probably going to score 10, 15, 20 goals. You just don't know.
Against Villa.
Yeah. I thought the nightmare was over.
He is our regular tormentor historically.
I did put that out on Twitter. In all competitions, he scored 118. 9 of those against Villa. That's about 7% of all his goals in English football against Villa. And he's just come back to get that into double figures, hasn't he? Point number two. We actually saw this before we recorded the last show, but we'd already got the three points. Former West Ham man, Dimitri Payet, just didn't really help calm things down, did he? When he threw a bottle that was thrown at him back into the crowd. It's always a fire starter, that one.
Yeah, he's literally like putting petrol on the fire.
In the game between Nice and Marseille, 43 minutes into the game, his side 1-0 down, both sets of players piled in. He threw a couple of bottles, didn't he?
Yeah, he threw a couple of bottles. I think one of the physios or a coach ran on and punched a fan. There was all sorts going on. Some of the Marseille security piled in as well.
And then the fans just piled on the pitch as well.
Yeah, chaos.
There's a video doing the rounds, so just Google it.
Yeah.
The moral of the story is players shouldn't really throw things into the crowd.
Do you remember when Carragher did that at Villa Park?
No.
He did it in about, I'd say it was like 99-ish.
And
he had a coin thrown at him and he launched it back into the Trinity Road and got sent off.
Because I remember somebody threw Harry Redknapp a coin.
Yeah.
Villa fan.
Happened to Carragher as well. And yeah, Carragher launched it back and then all hell broke loose and he got sent off.
I think somebody throws like a cabbage at you, you can laugh that off, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody throws a coin. That's because the first thing somebody says about a coin being thrown is like it could take somebody's eye out, and that kind of fires you up.
Well, you could see the marks on Payet's back where the bottle had hit him. And so I can see why he threw it back. But there's another story going around about Guendouzi, who's still on loan from Arsenal. So he took pictures on social media with like red marks on his neck, but the Nice president, Jean-Pierre Rivera, is claiming that Guendouzi faked the injury in the change room to make it look worse. So the ill feelings went on, and this is carrying on. There's going to be a hearing on the 8th of September about, right, you know, what way this is going to pan out.
Meanwhile, in Ghana, shout out to the Ghanaian Lions, player has confessed, he came on as a sub, didn't he? He has confessed coming on as a sub and scoring 2 own goals to defy a match-fixing operation. What's his club?
Inter Allies, they're called. It's a player called Hashmin Musa.
Club went 7-0 down in the match, and Musa came off the bench to score twice past his own keeper in the final 12 minutes, claiming that he believed the score was sorted out in advance. After the game, his technical team, well, the manager commended him, didn't he?
Yeah, and his team indeed, yeah.
So I heard in our hotel that a bet had been made for the correct scoreline of 5-1 against my club, Inter Allies. Well, they hadn't scored their goal yet, had they?
No, well, he's...
So he just made sure of
yeah, by scoring twice. In either way.
Wonder is that what Richard Dunn was doing all those years?
Yeah, bet the old Aston Villa the Aston Villa consortium that were fixing their results all the time. We should have investigated Dunn's multiple own goals. There surely, as you said, there must have been a real reason
Frank
behind
Sinclair
it.
Frank Sinclair at Chelsea used to score them all the time.
Yeah, because it's more than coincidence. Right, anyway, well done to Mr. Hashmin Musa for having the balls to do that.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, let's get into the main show. We knew we were kind of under strength anyway. We knew these guys, Brentford, would be organised, so we were thinking, hey, we could have done with Traore, could have done with Bailey. And then fast forward an hour to go, when the team news comes out, and you're like, we could have done with Mings, we could have done with McGinn. Ah, shit, Watkins isn't starting, he's on the bench. That's when I thought, It's going to be one of those days, isn't it? Because this is half the first team. What you would probably deem potentially the starting 11 is not there. And you're thinking this weakens the bench. Kane Chukwueze starting, 17 years old, coming in. And you're thinking, hang on a minute, didn't we drop like 100 million in this window? We've got a 17-year-old making his first start, and we've got a loney drafting in at centre back, looking a bit brittle there. You just thought Brentford, after their start, beating Arsenal and doing better against Watford than we did, you thought, they might go for it here. They might lick their lips here and go, this is a really good opportunity to get 3 points at Villa Park.
Mm. And they started well.
But I couldn't believe how happy they were just to be out there playing literally from the kickoff, because we granted them that bloody goal. They were just playing for the draw. They were so conservative. If Villa were full strength, or let's say had the guys that, McGinn and Mings in there, the captains at the very least, then I kind of understand it. You know, you looked at Villa's team sheet and we were all worried. We thought it would be the hardest game so far this season. But to most fans, they're thinking, newly promoted team, we should do these anyway. But from a Brentford point of view, you thought they would do it, really go for it. And then when they scored, I mean, it was early doors.
You kind of thought, here we go.
You thought, we're not getting out of this one. Because the way they scored as well, I mean, Tonne was, it was laughable, wasn't it?
It's a crap bit. It's a good finish when it comes to him. He lashes it home. He places it well, but the build-up to it's garbage.
He could have done a handstand and then took the shot. He had so much space in that 18-yard box. Chukwueze was probably the man who could have picked him up.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was like the midfielder closer to him. But, it's one of those where you're thinking, well, there's got to be a preset when you defend. Because it came initially from a corner. There's got to be the zonal marking thing, but is what it is. But when you've got the main threat, you should always have a man on him or a man who monitors what he's doing. And that was like scandalous, the amount of time he had there.
Yeah, it was crap. And then once he gets the chance, he's buried it very well. Luckily, we reacted well, didn't we, to be fair?
Yeah, but at that time, in the halt, you just thought, this is going to be a long day.
Mm-hmm.
But they literally didn't do anything after that, really, did they?
I think there was the Rico Henry sort of chance where he flashed it across the face of goal, which was close. After that, second half, they didn't do a lot.
I kind of lost a bit of respect for old Frank, their Danish coach.
I think he nullified Villa a lot. But he didn't. You always think of Brentford being one of those teams that go, we'll play our way. And they were actually quite pragmatic.
I mean, the reason why we got Smith from Brentford was because they played attractive football. But this pragmatic is almost an understatement, isn't it?
It's a lot of back to front. You know, they got the big guy Tony up front, and it was a lot of getting it up to him.
They're going to get torn to shreds by better teams or teams that have their full strength 11, because they put themselves down as like a pressing team, and it's like the front two or three press, but after that, the rest of them are just static, and the centre-backs, Pontus Janssen and the other ones, they're just not quick enough. I mean, they made El Ghazi look rapid, and the Villa didn't use him enough down the wing.
Yeah, I thought El Ghazi had his best game of the season, from my point of view anyway. He had the beating of their fullback, and you know, he was doing pretty well. He had a good afternoon, I thought.
He did okay, but he played far worse earlier games of this season, but got the end product.
Yeah.
This game, he actually, his overall play, I thought, was okay. Frustrating at times, but he can be.
But I thought he had the fullback on toast when
we just had to isolate them. We didn't do that enough. In the final third, and Smith said as much after the game, wasn't consistent enough throughout, and we weren't neat or tidy enough. We got into some good sort of opening positions, and then didn't really grasp the opportunities we got to make proper openings. Other than the goal was fantastically crafted from back to front.
I thought we were kind of neat and smart. There was some smart little moves going on. I mean, and one that led up to the goal. But there just wasn't that extra bit, the next stage to it. But there was some of the players getting the ball out of their feet and turning and in transition and moving, switching it. You know, I was quite impressed. And there was more seeds of hope for future games when, you know, some of your big hitters are back, and you can see if this clicks into gear, just from little flourishes here and there, you know, in this game, there is reason to be optimistic.
I think so. I thought you're starting to see a little bit more game by game what Buendia can do. He's still got a lot more to give, and he does lack that little bit of pace to play out wide as he is at the moment. I thought he took his goal superbly.
Yeah.
Really well crafted.
And how he created his space just on that first touch where he
sends the defender for a cup of tea, doesn't he? He's like, it just opens up.
What was it? It was like a back heeler through his
it's a great
like
touch.
A back
it's
heeler like a flick or whatever.
Yeah, then whips it in the top corner. It's a great finish. And then he had little moments through the game. I thought Chuck Mueka came in and had it was a real difficult game for him to come in, because he'd have only known he was playing very last minute.
He didn't touch the ball. He had 22 touches, which was for a midfielder. He was kind of off it, really.
Yeah, I thought when he actually got on the ball, you saw he's confident in possession. He's got that kind of rangy running style. And I think he's confident then. And he showed a couple of good little bits of play where he carried the ball, got some good passes away. But actually, when we didn't have the ball,
he's a bit too relaxed.
Yeah, he's a bit relaxed. And I think, I don't know if it's his playing style or what, but he's going to get the benefit of the doubt for a while, because apparently he's the second youngest player to play for Villa in the Premier League after Gareth Barry. But I think the game passed him by. He was just not quite up to the pace of the press, especially when you have Buendia next to him, who has the look of a guy who he doesn't really like doing a lot of the dirty work. He gets his foot in every now and then, but in terms of, like, he had to press hard because Brentford were trying to press us all over the field, and we had to kind of counter-press that, essentially. We just didn't have the players to do it, whereas, you know, McGinn and someone like a Watkins from the start would have been much more helpful.
Ashley Young playing, I was trying to find
well
him.
In the middle.
I was trying to find him. I was like, where is he?
He played really well in the middle, I thought.
Yeah, but he didn't. I mean, 28 touches as well.
But he worked hard.
Yeah, he was better off the ball, and he's vocal. That's the main difference between this Ashley Young and the one 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. He's a leader.
He's organising when they were taking that free kick for about 10 yards further forward than it was actually given. He pulled that one up.
In the ref's ear as well all game.
Yeah, pulled that one up with a ref and got it taken back. So he's alert.
Played in Italy.
He's alert, and he knows what's going on, and that's good, because we needed that with all our captains out.
And the ref needed it, because frankly, the ref needed a kick at the arse on more than a few occasions. He was fucking appalling.
I didn't get it.
Fucking shit show that was. Awful. Bad for both teams as well. He was consistently inconsistent.
He was awful for us again. He was awful last season as well, which was West Ham away. I mean, that match just disintegrated. There was tackles going in that he wasn't booking players for, giving the foul, and then there was nothing that he was booking players. And it's just, and again, you summed it up, it's just inconsistency. It's like toss a coin. I mean, there was a tackle at the end Courtney Hawes put in the penalty box, and I was expecting him to give a penalty. I mean, he just waved
it
on.
I was actually.
Yeah. I mean, it was last season, there might have been a penalty, but under the new sort of guidance, you know, the Brentford forward just made too much of it.
I mean, Tone should have gone for them. You know, he had a high foot on, it was Nakamba, wasn't it?
Yeah, kicked him in the head.
Didn't even get a booking. You think, what on earth? That is an absolute... I think if he hadn't already had a booking, he'd have easily got a yellow for that. The ref bottled it there. Ings got the most ridiculous yellow card ever when he was running through, reached for the ball, the guy trips over his foot and he books him. You thought, what on earth's that for? And then Ashley Young got booked. The ball comes through, comes loose to him. The ref blows up, he hits a shot. You think, all right, fair enough, whatever. And you just knew by that point with the way the ref was going, he's going to book him for kicking the ball away there. And he did. It was some of the decisions were
which
just
one? There was exactly the same foul.
Yeah.
And the Brentford man got away with it. And then literally within 2 minutes, Villa player did pretty much the same thing.
It was Louise. Louise broke through, got pulled back, didn't get given. He got it and got booked.
Yeah, it was Ings as well.
Between that and Brentford's time wasting, some of their players staying down for 5 minutes. As I said earlier on, you just felt the life drain out of you. And
it kind of reminded me of that Watford game, you know, the previous season when, obviously Konsa scored the winner with the last kick when Ben Foster had been time-wasting all game.
I asked the Perius, did you notice that Brentford take an age to come out for the second half? Because on the TV pictures at home, the Brentford players were all standing in the tunnel, you know, all pally and chatting in the referee's ear. And I think Brentford's Canos, who was throwing himself about quite a bit, he was having a big, long discussion with them and everything was going. So I was wondering, were they, you know, in his ear?
We noticed like Villa players were standing there for ages and Brentford hadn't turned up. They got booed when they finally turned up.
He's just not a good referee, is he? That's like I said, no consistency for either team.
But it played into Brentford's game plan because it just took... I think Villa are a side who want to keep the ball moving and get momentum. They couldn't get any momentum and they couldn't get any sort of tempo into the game.
Yeah, as I was saying, there were some neat passages of play by Villa, but they're just... Because there was no tempo there, you just couldn't get any flow going. Because you thought, actually, if we start to click, we could play these off the park. But we never got a chance to get any kind of flow.
Yeah, there was a few occasions in the second half where it had gone flat, and then Villa would get on a little, start to sort of build up a head of steam, and the fans would really react to it, and then the tension would just get popped like a balloon because the ref would give a soft free kick. And the longer it went on, the crowd were just getting... And you could tell the players were getting really frustrated at the lack of rhythm to the game.
And then it gets held at 8 minutes and you're thinking, I'm not surprised, but I can't take 8 more minutes of this.
Although I did think, we'll get a chance here.
But Watkins actually made it manageable because he looked good. He looked sharp.
He did.
And you realise what Villa have been missing without him. And there was some decent interplay between him and Ings where you thought, oh, actually, this could be a bit of a partnership moving on.
Bet you Ings is glad to see Watkins come on because Ings was putting in some amount of mileage in the pitch, especially setting up the first goal. He chased that right down into the corner. So if Watkins comes in and sort of takes on the mantle again of the workhorse, then maybe Ings can get into more positions to finish.
Yeah, I thought Target, he got fried in almost the first moment, didn't he? When the guy it was just like a give and go. He just tapped it round the side of him, just ran round him, and you thought, oh no, not again. What's happened to Target?
But then he grew into the game, didn't he? I thought he got better, which was a relief to see. I thought Matty Cash had a little bit of a hit and miss afternoon. He had some good moments, and then a few, you know, he has a tendency to get caught under the ball a little bit, I suppose because he's not the tallest. Martinez barely had fuck all to do other than picking the ball out of his net, which is frustrating. But
when you look back at this and you know you think about it's you know 1-1, I think I said on the last podcast I wouldn't be surprised if this is a draw, and that was Villa being at, you know, reasonable strength. So I didn't mind the point. I thought fair enough. I think the main thing when I saw that lineup, I thought if we can keep a big marker is just to stay unbeaten at home as long as we can. And, you know, we've got tougher games coming up. But if you can just stay unbeaten at home and make it a fortress, the proverbial fortress, then that gives you a bit of a backbone to your season. So that was the most pleasing thing for me, taken away from this game. In terms of an opportunity for 3 points, I just thought as soon as I saw that team sheet and Brentford went 1-0 up, I thought Brentford really... They fucked up big time in this game because it was more of an opportunity for them, I thought.
And especially when,
at the end of the day.
In, when Konsa went off injured, you think, fucking hell, his spine's been pulled to pieces. If you're Brentford then, you think Konsa's gone off, you've got Courtney Hawes. If you've done your research on him, you know he can. I mean, he's a good player, Hawes, but he can be got at. Twan Zabi hasn't had a lot of game time, so you think you've got to put him under pressure. I think Cash was on a yellow card. We had a few players on a yellow card, and they didn't target them, really.
Well, yeah, they didn't seem to... as long as they kept the shape defensively, that was all they were really bothered about, and then just play it long.
Maybe they thought it was a harder game than it actually was. Maybe they thought Villa would...
I think that's what it was.
They thought, you know, we're going to have to play very well to get anything here. And I mean, to be fair to them, I thought they were very well organised. You can't say they played badly. I wouldn't say either team deserved to win the game or lose it, but...
I was sitting there thinking, we're going to beat them at their fucking patch and get revenge. Once we've got a full team back, there's nothing here that scares me at all.
I was frustrated because at half time Watkins came out pretty much stripped off and ready to go, and you thought, right, this is going to be either at half time change or give it 5 or 10 minutes tops and he'll be on and we're going to be really proactive here. And then the longer it went on, you thought, oh, come on, Smith. And I thought the Nakamba change at the time was the right thing to do, but I was really hoping to see Watkins earlier and Villa just go, someone's got to take this by the scruff of the neck, let it be us.
Yeah,
I can't believe El Ghazi stayed on after his yellow card, because there was a couple of times he sailed close to it with like a body check here or tracking back there. As good a game as he was having, you thought that was the natural change.
He was getting frustrated as well, you could tell.
There was a body check at one moment, but that was a 50-50. And I thought, this is El Ghazi, this is what he should be doing. Because he's actually, I remember when we were signing him, I contacted an Ajax friend of mine. I said, what was El Ghazi like at Ajax? And he said, I've said this before in the podcast, he said, he's strong, but he doesn't kind of believe in his own strength sometimes. And you saw him, he was bullying their fullback at times. And yeah, it's just, I don't think we just didn't isolate them enough and have a real go at them, because we had a real opportunity down that flank. Down the right, it wasn't really popping as much.
I think that's the difference with Buendia, in that you don't have a genuine wide player. You've got a busy sort of attacking midfielder, but his natural instinct isn't to get his head down and get to the byline or to play in that way.
Yeah, I kind of want Buendia in the number 10 position, though, because
I want him to run the game for us.
I want him on that D when there's any when we're attacking. I want him around that D on the edge of the 18, because he's got tricks. He's got great movement. I mean, his movement is exceptional. So he needs to be in a role where he can apply that movement in the middle of the pitch rather than being. When you're on the wing, there's only one way you can go, so you're a bit more predictable in terms of when you're defending against it.
And he doesn't have straight line speed, which if you can get Bailey working or Traore, who's a good ball carrier, etc., we have other players who I think can fulfil that need better.
Yeah, I think at the moment, overall, from what we've seen so far this season, we're just a victim of our circumstances in terms of injuries and preparation, because I'm seeing enough of how this kind of clicks together. Even from Bailey's cameo against Watford, you thought, oh yeah, he's just come off, he's just flown in from Jamaica, and he's, I don't know what he's been doing on holiday, he's been slightly injured, and yet he just comes on now when really Smith didn't want to play him. And you can see what he's going to bring to the party. You can see what Buendia brings that's not going to be the last goal he scores.
We know what Ashley Young brings, and we kind of know what Twan Zabi brings as well. And everybody knows what Ings brings as well.
It's just like we haven't had everybody together yet. And once we but the thing is, once everybody is together, they're going to need 2-3 games. And that's when we start to crack on.
I just hope we're not talking about injuries and COVID disruption all season.
Yeah, and this ridiculous amount of internationals before the new year. You get into the point where you've written off one season, it's behind closed doors, whatever. And this season you hope, I hope we're not just going to have to, draw a line through this, because it's going to be a crazy season. But I suppose, people say, well, it's the same for everybody. So you just make sure you're prepared and take advantage of the situation. But so far, after three games, it just gets worse and worse. We can't take it anymore. That's why we needed the international break. It's like we need a breather. We need to sit on the stool in the corner because we're just getting pummeled in terms of personnel. All right, any outstanding stats of the week or from the game?
The stat from this game was about our friend Ivan Toney. He scored more league goals than any other player in the top four tiers of English football since the start of the 2019-20 season with 56. So it might have been an idea to mark him in the box.
Scouting report.
I think we were always going to suffer in terms of organisation because your man Mings isn't there for starters. And that's,
he's your vocal presence, yeah. I think.
Across the back line anyway.
Yeah.
And Chuck Moeka was the youngest player to start in the league for Villa since Gareth Barry in 98. I think it was that game, Gareth Barry.
That was the Arsenal game, wasn't it, at home?
Yeah.
Right, before we disappear off into the international break, I just want to say a big thank you to the latest My Old Man Said patrons who have signed up. Thank you very much to Colin Brown and Chris Hayes. And also to Armin, and no, I'm not going to pronounce your surname again, even though I got it right last time, for upping his pledge to an annual one. I'm not going to roll the dice and try to get that surname right. Oh, maybe I could just edit in the last podcast.
Yeah, just superimpose it.
There's an option. But no, thank you very much, guys, for signing up to be a My Old Man Said patron. When you become a My Old Man Said patron, you get access to Match Club, which is growing and growing in the next couple of weeks. There's a few little things that are going to reinforce some of the other channels within there, and also the podcast channel will finally get rock and rolling in the international break. So do go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the patron link. I would, if you're listening to this in September, no problem, just sign up. If you're listening to this in August, just wait until on the next day or whenever it is to September, because you will be charged in August for August and then charged again for September. So just wait for September. But anyway, myoldmansaid.com and click on the patron link to get more details. Any other final words?
Not from me.
No.
Just subscribe or follow, as they like to say now, because subscribe sounds like you have to pay for it. Just follow on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen to the podcast on, and follow us on Twitter at My Old Man Said. And please do retweet and also review the show to spread the good word and gospel. Right, who's up next for us? It's not a tricky trip to Chelsea, is it?
Unfortunately so.
How many times are we going there? It's like in a week.
Twice in a couple of weeks, isn't it, I think?
Fantastic. This is what builds the character of teams.
Yeah, forwards
and
iron.
You need stuff like this. You can't be messing around trying to break down a team that just can't be asked. That has no more ambition than 1 point. You need to take on a team that is very much capable of ripping your spine out and discarding the rest of your body.
And have a few times down the years.
And have.
We've taken some absolute spankings at Stamford Bridge down the years. There was a 7, there was an 8, there was a 6 as well. There's a couple of 4s in the
cups. This is what I mean by character building. We need to rock up there and show them, you know, if we can keep it down to like 3 or 4, then we'll feel good about it.
Take it on the chin.
Yeah, it's time to man up. I mean, we deal with them reasonably well at Villa Park. It's...
We got a draw last year, didn't we, as well, at Stamford Bridge? We played well.
Yeah. Hey, come on, guys. That's what I like to hear. 4 points out of 6 last year against Chelsea. Bring it on. Just give us a third game against them at Stamford Bridge next month.
We'll have them away in the FA Cup as well, then.
Yeah, come on. Bring them on as many times as possible. Come on. We'll take on all comers. See, all this will be grounding us for a bright future. Yeah. As Randy Lerner once said.
I don't want to play them again until it's in the Charity Shield.
Ah, yes.
Well, yeah, that's why we need to play them as many times as possible to get practice in for when we do clash in the Charity Shield or the Community Shield or whatever it's called. Right, anyway, until the Community Shield, we're not doing any more podcasts until the Community Shield final. Right, well, we can dream about our multiple clashes against Chelsea over the next 2 weeks. Until then, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.